guys, I think, have great respect for each other. I think they have great respect for each other's work ethic. It's something that we've always tried to emphasize. You guys are working hard, and I think they know we can get better. We have to get better.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
And that is going to wind this one down and out. Tennessee on the road rocks them at Rupp, 81-73. What a performance from Rick Barnes, Volunteers, and a shocking result for number 6 Kentucky on the night. They were moved to a 2-seed.
Ball's back. Before long, we'll be taking a bite out of everybody we play's ass. Thank you very much.
There was a time and place that this university was feared. My goal is to get us back.
Since 1974, I know what the University of Tennessee and the great fan base here is about. I know that. When people talk about Rocky Top, I know what they're talking about.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome in to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Friday edition of the program. It's 3 and Out. We got Houston. We got Davey. I'm Nate. We're excited to be here.
Yeah, that checks out.
Because we might be closer. Maybe.
Well, we aren't further away. Time.
We're closer to knowing, anyway. The fate of the football program hangs in the balance. Interviews. Did you hear anything? They happened yesterday? Anything?
I heard they happened.
And
they...
Yeah. That was it.
Still happening.
Still happening. It's happening!
No news is...
Bad news.
No news is no news, really, in this case.
No news is bad news. I don't know what we're doing. All right, good show, everyone.
As you like to say. Snakes.
We're playing a basketball game tomorrow. That's a no.
The Tennessee basketball account said that's the plan.
The plan's to play someone tomorrow?
I think Vandy.
Oh, we're just on. Okay.
I think. Unless I missed it.
All right. Good to know.
Just throwing that out there. The Tennessee basketball account said that's the plan when asked if there would be a game on Saturday. Didn't say what the plan was.
We do
who the opponent would be.
We do have the NFL divisional round this weekend, so that's good. Best round of the NFL playoffs. 4 games. Hit on that today. But we wait. We wait on something to drop.
Something. Yes.
Tennessee went ahead and turned in that paintball issue they had a while back.
They made like a really big deal about that. I mean, they had
graphics
like,
hey,
and video. Look at how fun we are.
We're
come
so
play
cool.
Paintball. Neat. Oh, illegal. Sorry.
Yep. Shouldn't have done that.
Why was
it illegal?
I don't know.
First of all,
I guess there were some unofficial visitors, and they got
so what Bruce
$10.
What
no?
So the sheep think that's the entire basis of like what they found,
right?
Yes,
but if Jeremy Pruitt had lied about the paintball, that would be exactly what Bruce Pearl did. Think about that.
If they had said, Coach,
we're unofficial visitors in the paintball game, and he said, nope, all official, and then they said, no, but we got this picture. This kid was definitely unofficial. Nope.
Got a mask on. Can't tell who it
is. That's not him. That is not J.J. Peter. I mean, or whoever. You know, like, that's literally what Bruce Pearl did. He did something that would have been legal on an official.
Well, Pearl had one guy
illegal,
at a barbecue.
Right. Pruitt had lots of guys.
That's what it sounds like, yeah. Had a lot of guys playing paintball. At least it was on campus, I suppose.
Why does that matter? I thought it was at his house. It wasn't like they were at a casino or something.
Well, you're not allowed to leave campus on visits and unofficial or official.
You can if you're not with the
coaches.
You can
on an official visit, huh?
I mean, you can't if you're not with the coaches. Like, you're not in prison. You can't. You're not like trapped on campus.
Well, no, you can't go to their house on an unofficial visit. You can go there for a meal on an official visit.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it's not a big deal in the grand scheme of things. This is
no.
It's not illegal activity or anything.
Well, in the eyes of the NCAA, it is illegal.
I just think John Reed put it pretty bluntly.
No, he nailed it.
We
I was just about to bring that up.
We are fighting for Jeremy Pruitt.
Tooth. And nail.
When we didn't fight for Bruce Pearl.
Tooth and claw? You fight tooth and nail, or is it fight tooth and claw?
Tooth and nail.
Okay.
I have breaking news.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Okay. This better be good.
Not gonna be.
It better be worth it.
The Falcons have offered Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith the head coaching job. And now I'm already in a bad mood to start the day. That's according to Diana Russini.
Oh, you're in a bad mood to start the day.
Damn it.
What else is new? There it is.
Apparently Pruitt's interview lasted like over 8 hours.
Jeez, I hope they gave him a couple bathroom breaks or something. 8 hours?
8 hours.
What?
Yeah.
Man, hope he brought some of those notebooks he had to remember everything.
I know.
8 hours?
Yeah.
I just asked him, what do you do here? And he had to go through all his failures.
I think the only thing I've ever done for 8 hours is sleep.
Fish.
Did they have like a catered lunch?
Fish
for 8 hours. That's a good point. Yeah. But that's mixed thing. I'm driving the boat. I'm casting here. I'm thinking, eating a little peanut butter crackers. Hopefully he got some, you know, lunch break or something. You think they catered it?
With 8 hours of questioning, you could ask him the same question multiple times to see if he flips his stance.
Oh, yeah. You would absolutely ask questions in hour one and then wait until about hour six or seven and come back and kind of reword them just a little bit.
Mm.
Boom. Catch him. Unless he didn't cheat at all. You know, they say you don't have to have a good memory if you always tell the truth.
A good way to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Lying's more fun.
That's because you're a horrible person.
You know how bad the timeline is on this? You know, the players come back in
Monday.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, they're coming back, over the weekend, and then they'll have a meeting Monday.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to be in there for that one. Wanya Morris is going to announce his top schools today.
You think Tennessee's one of them?
I'm going to go ahead and say no, considering we have removed his financial aid.
We know the latest chatters that Hank T might just pull a Tracy Rocker, just not even come back.
I had not heard that recent chatter. So
yeah.
he may just...
Might just be done here. Just not.
He's going to go back home.
Player meeting, and Kevin Steele might look around the linebacker room and go,
where the bleep is Henry?
Where the bleep is Hank?
Oh, good.
Hmm.
So, Hank T won. This is going good. It's going well.
Yeah.
This is.
They're probably going to fumble handing off the bagman responsibility, so we'll lose a lot more players that way, too.
Say we might be done cheating for a minute.
Think so?
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know.
Wanya to Oklahoma? Have you heard that?
Oh.
I'll welcome it. I'd rather him go there than somewhere else in the SEC.
Yeah, me too.
He and Woody Washington can be buddies.
Yeah. Orlando Brown probably saying, hey, man, you don't want to go to Tennessee. Oklahoma's the place to go. It's the place to be.
I will give Pruitt credit. That one I was watching really carefully, the Joseph Anderson kid that Tennessee said wasn't good enough, then begged to come here right by signing day, Never really played much and transferred out of South Carolina. So there you go.
Someone just sent me a screenshot that has Wanya Morris in Dallas.
Ah, the Cowboys.
Dallas?
Dallas, yeah.
That's Dallas.
Where would you go to? Where would you fly into Dallas to go?
I don't know.
I mean, Austin has an airport.
Yeah.
What's, I don't know. Oh, well. Brett tweets in and says, 8 hours isn't really that bad. You know how long it's going to take to negotiate this buyout? Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Well, I want $10
million. SMU?
No. Come on. He's better than that.
It's what the Googler told me was the top.
The Googler?
College in Dallas.
Maybe he's got friends there, and they're going to, yeah, you know, caravan to Norman.
Just hanging out.
I think that's probably not right, though.
TCU's in Fort Worth.
Hmm?
TCU.
Ah. Okay. I can see it. Hugh Freeze just tweeted, it's Friday. New signees in town. Returners
Did
coming
you
back
see the
this
video?
Weekend.
Did you watch it? Huh. He said,
no.
You know what he said?
Maybe a round of golf.
He said, culture beats talent. And now we're bringing in more talent. And that makes us scary.
Elite Volunteers has let me know. He's informed me that you cannot get a direct flight into College Station. You're going to go be an Aggie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, bud. Okay. Neat. I mean, at this point, I really, I'm with Davey. Like, as long as he doesn't go to Georgia or Florida or something, I wish him well. It's not his fault that we're an unmitigated disaster. Nobody wants to hang around. What are we doing? I mean, how does anyone look at the situation and think drawing it out is working? And if you're right. Fulmer and you're watching all these dudes dive into the portal, how are you thinking, yep, this is definitely the guy I want to keep here? Because you haven't fired him yet and everyone's leaving. So unless they know something that even you don't, maybe read the tea leaves here. Maybe let's just try to piece some things together. Wanya Morris enters transfer portal, has a meeting with the coaches to talk him into staying. Re-enters the transfer. Like, what is that? Like, hello?
For good. Like, yeah, no hello. Financial aid. Coaches get mad. Pull financial aid. What the hell?
I feel like we were... I was thinking something was going to happen yesterday, like one way or the other. Maybe not like the news, but
right.
something.
You start hearing stuff or about something.
No,
right?
Nothing, man. Not a thing. It was just, yeah. Just another ho-hum day. Wasted. It was a wasted day.
Well, one of the blog sites said, Tennessee leadership acts like everything is fine as it all burns down. Like,
yeah.
Tennessee football is burning as leadership pretends nothing is wrong.
Yes. Yeah.
I was like, that sums it up pretty well. They're just acting like everything's cool. And apparently, Jeremy Pruitt was the one that first reached out to Kevin Steele.
Mm-hmm.
And Steele did, you know, of course... Obviously, you talked with Philip Fulmer about the situation, but it was Pruitt who pushed for that.
Yeah.
And we just let him do it, which I guess is okay if we have a plan.
Well, no, that's like, it's kind of genius if you're Fulmer. Like, you make Pruitt think it's his idea,
mm-hmm.
and then you allow that to happen, but then when Pruitt wants to go make a hire that you don't like, you say, oh, no, hiring freeze. Hey, we want to go get Jim Turner. It's a really bad idea. You're not really in charge here. Hiring freeze. You know, we're going to wait on the investigation. Okay. I want Kevin Steele. Yeah, you do. That's a great idea, Jeremy. Let's come on. I'll sign the paperwork now because he'll be here after you're gone. Or I like Kevin Steele, and he's going to be able to hold your hand while, you know, you get year four for whatever reason. SEC Mike predicts Tennessee to finish fourth in the East next year, behind Georgia, Kentucky, and Florida in that order.
I mean, if you want to keep Jeremy Pruitt, you're not doing him any favors by dragging it out.
No.
No path. You are sabotaging yourself.
Yes.
Down both paths right now.
Yeah. Precisely. Like, you've undercut him so bad. At this point, if you're a recruit or even a transfer, why would, like, is Tennessee appealing at all unless you're Hendon Hooker, who apparently just loves Tennessee anyway? Like, why would you come here?
I don't know.
The coach is, you know, teetering on a knife's edge. NCAA, like, if you're looking at, you know, potential schools to transfer to, even if everything's kind of a good fit, if Tennessee has a postseason ban, or even if you think they might, you're not going to transfer here. So, and that goes for, you know, if Pruitt's the coach or whoever. But dragging this on, like you said, just it's not doing anybody any favors. Are they waiting so that they can talk to the midterm enrollees once they get here and settle them down and introduce them to Kevin? Kevin, go save us, Kevin. Then they fire Pruitt. Then they let somebody have a week before signing day to try and piece a class together. Keep everybody in the boat, so to speak. I mean, 8 hours? And not a single thing came out of this? We got to meet with him again for another 8? I mean, they fired Jim McElwain and then, like, negotiated on the back end at Florida.
Right. You can do that. That's possible.
Can we just do that if that's what we're going to? Like, it's just weird to me. I mean, Fulmer's done nothing. He said nothing. He released, what, that little low, thanks to the Liberty Bowl for putting us there. Here's my little statement. There's just no communication from the university. Like, your diehard, passionate fans just want to know something, and you're just radio silence.
Yeah.
Like nope, nothing, don't even worry about it, guys. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. Hell, the only information this town's gotten about this is from Trey Wallace. That's it. University's not saying anything. State run ain't saying anything.
Only thing ESPN said was wrong. There was a hiring,
yeah, hiring freeze.
Boom,
nope. Kevin Steele.
G-Man, I think, said on Twitter that narratives are crafted in the void of communication.
Mm-hmm.
If they would just tell us what they're doing,
yeah,
people wouldn't spin these crazy,
right,
you know, these.
Ah, they're keeping him, and they're just, oh, no, they're firing him. And they're, like, yeah, people are just speculating. They're just thinking of all the possible options and making Tennessee look stupid. All you got to do is say, here's what we're doing. Here's the deal. Here's the process. Here's the timeline. We got to make a decision by this. But no, silence is golden. Should be the 8th maxim.
Mm.
Jeez.
It's
ridiculous.
We're going to hit our first break. When we come back, we're going to get right to the phone lines, 865-546-8200. If you want to weigh in, the G3 Help Me hotlines are going to be open up early today on this Friday edition of 3 and Out. Stick with us on Fan Run Radio. Help Me team, it's the offices of G. Turner Howard III. They've been doing it right here in Knoxville for over 20 years. It's g3helpme.com to get a free consultation set up. Proud sponsors of our G3 Help Me hotlines, 865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in. Up first, we have Gracchi.
Gracchi.
What's up, my man? You're on 3 and Out.
Good morning, gentlemen. How we doing?
Oh, just great, man. Just having a good time. Speculating.
Yeah.
Yep.
Spinning there.
Speculating.
A lot of that. Are the winds of rumor blowing your way?
It would have been really nice to have something leak last night.
Anything. Anything at all.
But it's nothing.
Hmm.
I'm curious what Doug Matthews is going to say today.
Ooh, yeah.
He seems to be the only person that's getting anything from inside, and it seems to be just straight from Fulmer. I'm really starting to think that Fulmer has no idea what's going on.
None. You're right.
I mean, we have a hiring freeze, but we're hiring, like, assistant strength coaches. And, I mean, if we hire a position, coach, then I think that we can start to panic. I think that we can start to get worried. But what? I still think everything is aligned for Pruitt to get dumped today or tomorrow or even Sunday. I would be shocked if we don't hear something today.
One way or the other?
Just one way or the other. But I also, you know, last night I was seeing a lot of people talking about, oh, we're keeping him, this and that, whatever. And that's fine. I mean, if we want to say that, to go down that line. But, I mean, I know for a fact multiple boosters have been assured that this guy is gone.
All right. And so there we go.
If they were to come out and announce that he is staying, I still don't think that ultimately we would keep him for the 2021 season. I think the revolt would be so bad that they would have to dump him. And they've got a backup plan already in place. I mean, if you were to say keep Pruitt, the next 3 weeks are going to be so miserable for the people at UT. They would probably just say, okay, let's just do Steele interim for a year and figure this out next year. But I just don't think there's any path where they can actually keep this guy.
It's amazing that we're here.
I know.
Statistically, the worst coach in the SEC. He went 3-7. All the talent's leaving. Coaches got fired. More are going to get fired.
We're certainly
accused of cheating, and we are maybe looking for a reason to bring this guy back. I don't know if there would be a revolt. I think people would just click. I think they'd just turn it off. They'd just be done. Everybody would focus on basketball, and you just sit back and watch the castle crumble at that point.
Like
there's no need. Did you see what they did last night? They blew a 17-point lead.
Heard the coaching was really good.
I didn't watch it. I watched some of it.
I was watching very closely.
I know you were.
That game.
Yep.
Were you?
No, he wasn't.
I thought he might have had money on it.
Hey, we only lost by one. We had a shot. We had a shot. We had the ball with 12 seconds left. I know my Lady Vols basketball. You know this about me.
That's true.
I was told they couldn't get the ball in on the inbound
twice.
Twice.
Yeah, I didn't. I wouldn't actually watch
it. Yeah.
I know.
That Georgia defense, though, locked down.
Yeah.
But, yeah, had a 17-point lead. But no, yeah. Davey, I was talking about the men's team. They allegedly play tomorrow, maybe. I just think people. I think people are done. I think you could get people interested by, you know, making a move here and bringing somebody in, even if it was Kevin Steele for interim, which I would not be a fan of. At least people could convince themselves that it's going to be better to some degree. You can start to hope again.
If it's a casual fan, does it matter to the administration? All they care about is the big money people, and the big money people are saying, "Hey, what are we doing? We got to get rid of this guy. What are we doing?"
Do people care enough to revolt enough to send the message clear enough to the leadership?
Yes.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, it's got to happen this weekend, or there is going to be a revolt. I think that it's been pushed. I think the initial line was we're getting rid of him after the bowl announcements, and then the investigation stuff was worse than we thought.
Yep, that's what I've heard. They uncovered way more than they ever expected.
And so that got extended. But I think they just misread that situation, because I think ultimately the money that they're going to save with the investigation, I think it's a wash compared to how much damage you've done dragging this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
If we'd had a coach in place last month, I think signing day could have been really, really exciting. But instead, I mean, we're looking at having an interim coach.
Yeah.
This is insanity.
Yeah, thanks.
I don't know where to go with it. But hey, I also want to say this before y'all dump me. y'all are pooing on Doug Marrone. I think Doug Marrone would be awesome here. I know you guys are out on it. Whatever. It's not the flashy name. But I think he could win big here. I think that we have been lied to by the last four coaches that it's hard to recruit here. I don't think so. I think this place recruits itself. I think that we can, as long as you have a winning culture, a winning coach, and I know, I get it, 16-game losing streak, whatever, NFL, blah, blah, blah. I think the more research you do on him, the more – you see about him, the more you see what players have to say about him, I think that he could be the answer. And I think we need to start. I think we need to start liking that name because it seems to be very popular among.
Hold on, Grouchy. I'm gonna keep you on here real quick. All right. So, as a head coach in college football, really, he's got 4 years at Syracuse in the Big East at the
25
time.
25-25. I know the record.
11-17 in conference.
Better than Kevin Steele.
How would that translate to the SEC? Give me your pitch. Sell me this pin.
Well, so you're comparing Syracuse football records
in the Big East.
What?
I'm just saying, like, if you can only go 11-17 in the Big East, how are you?
He is my Doug Marrone's my fifth choice. I'm just telling you guys that at the end of the day, that's probably going to be the name. And I've been talked into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a feel thing. But I think we should get behind it. I think it could be a winner.
I mean, if they make the move, I'm going to root for the guy. I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to have an open mind. Who are your
top four, Grouchy?
If we could have anyone, it would be Hugh Freeze. And then I would go Lane Kiffin. Honestly, my number one choice is Napier. I don't think he has any interest in coming here.
Mm.
So put him in the top four. And then Jamie Chadwell. I think Jamie Chadwell, woo, he would be sick.
He'd be fun. Here. He'd be fun.
And
then Doug Marrone's fifth choice?
Yeah. But there's a chance Doug Marrone isn't going to wait around for this mess to steal itself. So that may not be the thing, but I think that he is the top choice among the people who matter, unfortunately.
All right.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate
Doug Marrone.
How do we get here? This is just...
I personally don't have anything against Doug Marrone, but as a guy that follows the AFC South very closely, it's a no for me. For his first year in Jacksonville.
It's a no from me.
In his first year in Jacksonville, he finished first in the division. Went 10-6. The division was down that year.
One season with double-digit wins at Jacksonville, four with double-digit losses.
Well, that's what I was going to say. He finished first his first year, then he went fourth,
which is last in the division for people who are So first, last.
I just feel like Grouchy's like a lot of Tennessee fans. He's just been abused. I mean, he basically said, "I want all these other guys. I think they'd be better, but I'm preparing myself." Because we're going to get Doug Marrone or something similar, and that's what's going to happen. And so I'm trying to make sure that when it happens, just based on feel, so he basically said someone sold me on the idea. Like,
but yeah, that's what's happened.
I know.
Other than the Lane Kiffin hire, it was get your hopes up. Derek Dooley, get your hopes up. Butch Jones, get your hopes up. Jeremy Pruitt. Like, yeah. Yeah, here's our top four. Throw them away because you're not going to get them. So then put together another list that you can say he's fifth, but in reality, he would not be in the top 15.
Right.
But you move him to fifth because you've heard the name and, you know, it's probably what Tennessee's going to try to do.
What a mess.
That's the way it goes, man.
What a mess.
We're a beat down fan base who looks at other schools making moves. Thinking outside the box, and like I said yesterday, man, Philip Fulmer's just going to get the band back together. He's going to get Kevin Steele. He's going to get Dan Brooks' son. He's going to go get Doug Marrone, because Doug Marrone coached tight ends and offensive tackles here for a year. We had a good year.
What did Doug Marrone do in 2015? Why did he leave Buffalo and then go to Jacksonville?
I think the owner sold the team, and he enacted a 3-day out clause, and he just... He left.
Like, what? I mean, he went 6-10, 9-7.
Let's see here.
He just wanted out. That's making sense. Whatever.
In 2014, the Bills finished with a record of 9-7, second place in the AFC East. This was the Bills' first winning season in 10 years. At the end of the 2014 season, it was revealed that Marrone had a 3-day out clause in his contract in the event of an ownership change. The clause was triggered by the sale of the Bills in 2014 after the death of Bills founder and longtime owner Ralph Wilson. He exercised the out clause and quit on December 31st, 2014. He did still collect his 2015 salary in full. After Marone quit, several players expressed their displeasure and disgust with both the decision and the way that he informed the team. One of the captains and the longest tenured player on the team, running back Fred Jackson, said it was like getting punched in the stomach. Marone interviewed with the New York Jets for their head coaching position. His interview reportedly did not go well.
Sign me up. I'm all in. He'd fit
in
perfectly.
I mean, what a winner. What a winner. You know, the players hate him. He can't. He quits on you even when he's rebuilding. Like, I mean, yeah, sign me up for this guy. Talk me into it. You asked Gracia to sell you the pen, Dave, and he said, well, other people sold me the pen, so you should buy it too. Give me a damn break. Let's go to Matt. We got Matt. Matt, you're on three and out. Talk me off the ledge. Or don't. Push me off.
Dude,
I don't care. Either way.
I'm at the bottom of the lake, man. Come on in, son.
Goodness gracious.
Why are we talking about baloney, man? That guy torpedoed the Bills. Leave, and the Bills are 10 times better off that he's gone.
Yeah.
Jacksonville won what? One or two games? How many games did they win this year? One.
They beat the Colts in week one, then they lost, let me count them real quick, 15 straight.
He's going to leave Jacksonville, and the Jags are going to be better when he's gone.
Well, yeah, they just got Urban Meyer.
No, I don't think he's going to be overly successful, but it's not like he's got a steep hill to climb. It's like, hey, if you can win two of your 16 games, you're already doubled your win total.
To the last caller, don't let Tennessee do this to you, man. Don't accept the baloney, dude. We can't. If they hired a Doug Marone, I would flip my lid, guys. I mean, I would be just as out as I am on this coaching staff. I'll tell you what we're going to do, guys. If we're going to do a revolt, can we all get together? You guys have watched The Hobbit, haven't you?
Uh-huh.
Isn't it time we dress up and cosplay? And if they're doing this in Washington and all over the country, why don't we just get smart and go over here and take back Hobbit Town in South Knoxville?
Okay.
We got to go straight to the source, guys.
Do you want to be an elf? I mean,
the lore village.
I'm a dwarf. I've called dwarf. You guys can be what you want.
Okay.
I think Davey. I think Davey's probably an elf. He's got the elf look.
He's got the tall blonde hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm often compared to Orlando Bloom.
Yeah.
Nate, you kind of got the clean cut, pretty boy look. So you're probably going to be maybe a high elf.
Ooh. Eldoron. Yeah.
Bring the weed.
Yeah. I guess.
What a.
Matt, you can't be a dwarf. You're tall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am tall. Houston, you're a dwarf.
Thanks. I got a beard. That's like a thing with dwarves. If you have a beard, you're a dwarf.
Yeah.
Hobbiton.
I'm short. I think we're all dwarves.
No, but you're clean cut. To be a dwarf, you have to have a big beard.
Yeah. You don't see clean cut dwarfs out there, fellas. Come on now.
And my axe.
Hey, it's not working. We're attack and Pruitt's not working. Former ain't working. The administration's not working. Let's just go to the top, man. I bet you anything, if we had 50 of us showed up over there in Hobbit Town and we started torching the Hobbits, what do they call that place, the Shire? If we started burning that place down, I guarantee you Pruitt would get fired that night.
No, this isn't the Hobbit. This is Lord of the Ring. Like, if we can destroy Philip Fulmer's championship ring and he can't wield that thing saying, look what I've accomplished.
Oh, my God.
Matt, that's what it is.
Matt,
get rid of the ring.
Is Fulmer Gollum?
Sauron.
Matt, that Blitz asked the question and everybody loved it. If you could reverse one play in Tennessee history, what would it be? And everybody said, you know, Stallworth's fumble in 2001 or all these other plays. You know what I said? I wish Clint Sterner hadn't fumbled so we wouldn't worship Philip Fulmer. That way you know what I mean?
No joke.
Like, I'm past that. Like, everyone experienced that. So now let's reverse time in history, and that way we wouldn't have Philip Fulmer as our AD. We'd have a normal guy with a normal operating procedure where he'd hire the right guy for these jobs.
Hey, if Fulmer had got fired in – if we wouldn't have won in 98, and then say Fulmer got fired in 2000 – and in 2001 with that team, if Lane Kiffin was coaching, tell me we don't win that national championship.
How old was Lane Kiffin in 2001? He was
doesn't matter.
I think he was like 25.
He still would have won.
But no, I don't necessarily disagree. Hmm.
All right, guys. Well, I'm conjuring up the. I'm getting this thing going, so we're gonna. I'll let you guys know what the date's gonna be. Right. Somebody's got to lead this rabble. So
he would have been 26.
26. The Balrog.
You guys have been by. You know where it's at, don't you? In South Knoxville.
No,
I'm pretty close. I'm about 5 minutes away.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I drive by it every day.
Where's it in relation to John Sevier?
Are they still building it?
Oh, they're still working on it, but it ain't gonna matter. See you, fellas.
See you, buddy.
I'm going to get a bobcat and just head over to Neyland Stadium, act like I'm going to bulldoze it just to see what they do.
I know a guy.
Neat.
That was funny.
Yep.
We'll come back. Stick with us. If you want to weigh in, 865-546-8200. If you're on hold, hang tight. We'll get right to you. Stick with us on 3 and Out. Final segment, hour number one. Right back to the G3 Help Me Hotlines we go. Davey, let me get the order on this right.
It's
we
just
got
Jay.
A,
just Jay.
Oh, we lose somebody?
No, we went through.
Okay. We're
looking at something else.
Is D.R. Vol not on the horn?
He was yesterday.
Hmm.
You got to scroll to the bottom. Most recent text, I think.
You didn't text Matt. Today, so there was a Matt from yesterday, and then after that was D.R. Vol,
yeah.
Which made me think D.R. Vol is back on today.
So not yet. Not yet.
Maybe soon.
He's usually an 8 o'clock, early 9 caller.
It's kind of weird. Sometimes if I get a call during a break, I just go ahead and
say it
you
out loud,
right.
Which is that's what he did.
You.
Right. That's so, what he did.
Yeah, I realize that now. All right, Let's go to Jay. What's up, Jay?
A little
you're on
peek
three
behind
now.
The curtain for you guys out there.
There you go.
Well, guys, you know, I don't know what it is with Krejci and wanting to hire a coach that has a 45% winning percentage and has finished dead last in his division or conference 7 out of the 11 years he's coached. Why does Doug Marrone keep getting brought up?
Because he coached with Phil during a pretty good year once.
Oh, my God.
And he has NFL experience, and I've heard that some people with a coin in their pocket like the idea of hiring a coach who's been in the NFL. Why? I don't know.
Krejci may not know some people.
That's like saying, well, I like the idea of hiring somebody that's been in medical school, but they botched 3 surgeries. Like, just because you were there doesn't mean you're talented. I mean... why do we do this to ourselves? Why do we continue to hire losers?
17 hours ago, 7 hours ago, Steelers Depot said Doug Marrone should be on the Steelers short list for new offensive line coach. Maybe Fulmer thinks Doug Marrone is himself 2.0. Offensive line coach, gets to be the head coach.
God. I'd rather have Mike Munchak.
Fulmer will forever... And I mean, and I'm not hyperbole here. He will forever tarnish his legacy if he does that.
Yeah, I mean, unless Marrone like were to come in here and win, like, enormously.
Yeah, unless, yeah, which, you know.
Track record
I mean,
speaks
what,
for
what
itself.
What are the odds of that happening, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so if Doug Marrone comes in here and basically shows you who he is, who he's been his whole coaching career, Fulmer's legacy, any good thoughts, any good feelings, oh, that old papaw feel, that goes out the window with a lot of people. Because that means you've hired 2 just completely inept coaches. And Josh Pate over at 247, you know, he had a good point. Like, I feel like we've been saying this for the last 15 years now, but you do have to get this one right. Like, you can't keep doing this and expect to ever get back what you once had. Like he said, you're going to lose. This is going to be a generational thing. Like, you're on the verge. He was like, I still think Tennessee can be an elite program. But he said, you're on the verge of this being like a generational type thing. And you can't keep screwing up these hires.
I disagree with him, Jay.
I don't think it's on the verge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody born after, like, what? Born after 2000 is, like, a diehard Tennessee fan, unless it's just, like, a family thing. But they've never seen any success. And if you do this again, you're going to risk losing, like, the 70-year-old fans, the 50-year-old. Like, it's like, what are we doing? How do we keep messing this up so bad?
My old man's from Oak Ridge. You go over there, it's Clemson with the young people. It is Clemson everywhere.
Yeah, because they came in, they got T. Higgins, and he had success, and he's in the NFL, of course.
Yep. You do not see. I'm telling you, it's crazy. I mean, it's really crazy. You'll see the young kids and high school and under kids. It's Clemson, man. They're not wearing Tennessee stuff. And it's just – and what is so maddening about all this is that there is two, really, that are a consensus pick by the fans, and we all know who they are, who, I mean, at worst, we're going to put up bukus of points, but who they're not even going to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to talk to some, you know, nimwit like Doug Marrone, and I swear to God, that keeps getting brought up. I feel like that's what they're going to do, but I'd like to ask the big money people and the people who actually make these decisions, why do we continue to hire people that our rivals would not even sniff? Like, you want to beat your rivals, but yet you're hiring coaches that your rivals would never even look at. If they did, it would be for a position coach.
Mm-hmm.
And you're hiring them as the head guy. And the coaches that your rivals wouldn't want you to hire, Hugh Freeze, Lane Kiffin, you don't even talk to. This is why you continue to suck year after year after year.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Who is making these decisions? And at what point, if I'm a dentist or if I'm a doctor and I keep screwing up patient surgeries or I keep screwing up their dental procedures, like, I have enough self-awareness to say, you know what, hey, I might not be good at this. I don't think I'm very good at this. But the people over at UT continue to screw up year after year after year in their decision-making, but it doesn't seem to hit them that, hey, we're not very good at this. Like, we're not doing a good job here.
The people at Tennessee, they're the dentists that kept intentionally breaking people's teeth and then charged their insurance company hundreds of thousands of dollars just to fix it.
Exactly. That's what I want to know. Like, when does the self-awareness kick in that says, you guys like Seinfeld, right? You remember that episode where George does everything,
opposite.
Whatever George's intuition, that's what Tennessee should do. They should take the Costanza route. Whatever George's intuition was, he did the exact opposite. Whatever Tennessee is thinking right now, just do the exact opposite.
Thanks for the call, Jay. Hi, I'm George. I'm bald. I'm unemployed, and I live with
my parents. Yep.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, we're Tennessee. We stink at this. We never do what our fans want, so let's give them what they actually want for one time.
Nate, you sit in the group that Hugh Freeze covers the spread more than any coach,
and more than any other coach.
Which, like, basically, this is since 1978, so like,
which basically means that on each given Saturday when you or whatever game day you play, you exceed expectations on that day more often than anyone else. And it's a sliding scale. As you get better, the expectations get higher, and you have to continue to beat that number. If you do have things go wrong and the expectations lower, then it's easier to then exceed them. It's a great metric. It really is. I mean, it's not a be-all, end-all, but Hugh Freeze has covered the spread more than any other college football coach.
Since 1978.
Who are the other guys on the list? You got it?
Jim Tressel, Matt Campbell, Urban Meyer, Bill Snyder, Dabo Sweeney.
It's a pretty good list.
Pretty good list.
I mean, it's not perfect, but that's a pretty damn good list of coaches right there.
Well, Saban's not up there because it's hard to cover 58 right. points.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a sliding scale, and the better you do, the harder it gets. Vol Nation Recruiting, who typically is, you know, pretty positive about Tennessee stuff, tweets this in. If you hire a failed Big East / NFL coach and you expect anything other than failure, then I have nothing for you. Shaking my head, definition of insanity.
I'm going to try to find a similar comparison to Doug Marrone, who went college, NFL, back to college, and had, you know, marginal success in both. Not like, you know, Spurrier was a juggernaut in college, not very good in the NFL, was then pretty good again at South Carolina, right? Nick Saban won a championship at LSU, so it, like, goes to Miami, not very good back. But Doug Marrone did not win championships at Syracuse, so I'm gonna try to look and see if there's a comparison for a guy who went college, NFL, back to college and was all of a sudden lights out.
Well, one name already comes to mind that's not exactly that, but a longtime NFL guy that went to college is coaching right now. That's Herm Edwards. We'll look at him. We'll look for some others on the flip side and discuss it more as we kick off hour two next.
You're listening to 3 and Out,